ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Hare Krishna. Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29. The chapter is entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachini Barhi. Text number 28.
Shuklat Prakasha Bhuishthal. Shuklat Prakasha Bhuishthal. Lokan Apnoti Karhichit. Lokan Apnoti Karhichit. Dukho Darkan Kriyayasams. Dukho Darkan Kriyayasams. Tamah Shokotkatan Kvachit. Tamah Shokotkatan Kvachit. Shuklat Prakasha Bhuishthal. Lokan apnoti karhichit. Dukho darkan kriyayasams. Tamah shokotkatan kvachit. Shuklat prakasha bhuishthal. Lokan apnoti karhichit. Dukho darkan kriyayasams. Tamah shokotkatan kvachit.
Word to word translation, please repeat. Shuklat, by goodness. Prakasha, by illumination. Bhuishthan, characterized. Lokan, planets. Apnoti, achieves. Karhichit, sometimes. Dukha, distress. Udarkan, having as the end result. Kriya ayasan,
full of laborious activities. Tamaha, darkness. Shoka, in lamentation. Utkatan, abounding. Kvachit, sometimes.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Abhay Charanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation.
Those who are situated in the mode of goodness act piously according to Vedic injunctions. Thus, they are elevated to the higher planetary systems where the demigods live. Those who are influenced by the mode of passion engage in various types of productive activities in the planetary systems where human beings live. Similarly, those influenced by the mode of darkness are subjected to various types of misery and live in the animal kingdom. Purport. There are three planetary systems, upper, middle and lower. Those influenced by the mode of goodness are given places in the upper planetary systems, Brahmalok, Satyalok, Tapalok, Janalok and Maharlok. Those influenced by the mode of passion are given places in the Bhurlok and Bhuvarlok. Those influenced by the mode of ignorance are given places in Atal, Vital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Rasatal and Patal, or the animal kingdom. Qualitatively, the living entity is the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because of his forgetfulness, he gets different bodies in different planetary systems. At the present moment, human society is overly influenced by the mode of passion, and consequently, people are engaged in working in big factories. They forget how distressful it is to live in such places. In Bhagavad Gita, such activities are described as ugra karma, that is, distressful activities. Those who utilize the energies of the worker are called capitalist, and those who actually perform the work are called laborers. In actuality, they are both capitalist, and the workers are in the mode of passion and ignorance. The result is that there is always a distressful situation. In contrast to these men are those influenced by the mode of goodness, the karmis and gyanis. The karmis, under the direction of Vedic instructions, try to elevate themselves to higher planetary systems. The gyanis try to merge into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Lord. In this way, all classes of living entities in various species of life are existing within this material world. This explains superior and inferior life forms within the material world. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratushe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो इन दिस चैप्टर टॉक्स बिटवीन नारद एंड किंग प्रचिनी बरही वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग टू हियर द ब्यूटिफुल एक्सप्लेनेशन गिवन बाय श्रील नारद मुनि टू अ एलिगोरिकल स्टोरी ऑफ King Puranjan. This is an expertise of a great preacher as Srila Narad Muni, because there are two ways of preaching. One is directly saying something and secondly indirectly saying something. So most of the times indirectly saying something works, because then person starts thinking why something is spoken. Is this whatever is been spoken is related to me? It has something to do with me? He starts thinking about what is been spoken and starts relating. And a direct preaching is done, or directly telling someone is done, only when there is a very close and intimate relationship. Otherwise it is generally not done, directly telling something without relationship, because the possibility of bouncing back is there. So therefore generally those preachers, they don't directly say something unless there is a relationship. So here Narad Muni, being an expert, he is speaking the story of Prachini Barhi, but in a just changing the names and terminologies as King Puranjan. And very beautifully he brings out the story, but as we understand, that person who is very much engrossed in fruitive activities and is influenced by the three modes of material nature, for him to understand spiritual subject matters becomes very difficult. To understand Krishna becomes very difficult. So in a humble mood, Prachini Barhi requested Srila Narad Muni that you spoke such a wonderful story, but somehow I am not able to understand the depth or the intricacies or the instructions which you are trying to give. So please kindly explain. So we are being hearing the explanation Srila Narad Muni was giving about different terms or different personalities he was mentioning in the story. And now he has come to the point of, here onwards we will see how Narad Muni is going to explain to Prachini Barishad that how by engaging oneself in fruitive activities, one continues the cycle of birth and death. And how one changes body from one form to another form. That will be revealed as he continues to explain. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he explains how because of his forgetfulness, he gets different bodies in different planetary systems. So this is a root cause of being conditioned in the material world, forgetfulness of Krishna. Tribhir gunamayir bhaver ebhi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhi janati mamebhya param avyayam. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, because of being influenced by three modes of material nature, mohitam, he becomes bewildered because he becomes absorbed in the bodily consciousness. He thinks that he is the body and his interest lies in fulfilling the needs and the demands of the body. So his interest remains focused around his bodily conception, his bodily identification. He cannot think outside his interest. That becomes his focus. So he becomes mohitam, mohitam nabhijanati. Therefore he doesn't understand that Krishna, who is the transcendental person, he is there as his ever eternal friend and guide. He is not able to see that friend because of being bewildered. Srimad Bhagavatam is majorly occupied by Srila Narad Muni's beautiful preaching events. If you see different cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will see Narad Muni appearing time to time and instructing different devotees. He has many disciples in Srimad Bhagavatam. We can see that. So one of such event we want to discuss little bit in reference to today's contest, what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. We all must have heard about Prajapati Daksha, which comes in the sixth canto. The narration comes in the sixth canto. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Sham Sundar Lalita Vishakha Devi ki. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Maharaj Daksha, he was instructed by his father and spiritual master, Lord Brahma, to beget many, many children so that the whole world is populated, because it was the initial phase of the creations. So Prajapati Daksha was given that responsibility. And being a faithful and obedient servant of Brahmaji, he was ready with a plan to beget many, many children. And in his first attempt, with his wife Panchajani, he begot 10,000 children. And they were named Haryashwas. And being a fruitive worker and having interest in following the Vedic injunctions very strictly, as a grahastha, as a householder, he was performing all his duties, performing all different varieties of yajnas, trying to give away the debts he was feeling are there upon his head. As scriptures also explain, everyone has debt of the great saintly persons and the demigods and forefathers, other human beings like that. So everyone possesses those debts. So he was doing all yajnas, everything. So he thought, if I have to execute the instructions of Brahmaji, then the children which I begot, they should go under regulative austerities and purify themselves, so that when they will beget children, they will beget good children, good progeny will come. So with that intention, Daksha Prajapati instructed his 10,000 children that please go to a place called as Narayan Saras, which is on the merging point of Sindhu River and
the Sea of Arabian Sea. So there he was, they were told to go and perform austerities, and being faithful and obedient they went there and doing austerities, very severe austerities. And Srila Narad Muni, as he is a wandering mendicant, he happened to go by that way where all these 10,000 young blooded, beautiful looking, smart looking boys were performing austerities. So he was stuck. Oh, who are these boys? So he came down to them and inquired from them, who are you and why you are here and why you are doing austerities? And they explained the purpose which their father has given to them, the goal which their father has given, that you perform austerities here, purify yourself, and then come back and beget many, many more children. So when Narad Muni heard that this is the purpose why these boys will be used for, to beget many, many children, to populate the world, he felt, no, this is not right. Because these boys are already very pure and already very austere, rather than going back in the material atmosphere and getting influenced by the modes of material nature and it entangled in the meshy network of material desires, better, they accept the path of renunciation and look towards the higher goal, the goal of going back home, back to Godhead. So he very nicely preached to them, gave a very beautiful analogy, and explained to them that better you go to that place from where you never come back, rather than going into this material world and doing so many activities, fruity activities. And they appreciated and understood that yes, what Narad Muni is saying is true. And all of them together decided to leave their goal which was given by their father, and accepted the goal which was given by Srila Narad Muni, and they renounced everything. And Narad Muni himself came to give this good news to Prajapati Daksha. Daksha, when he heard that my 10,000 children, they went and they renounced everything, they went to practice devotional service, they will not come back, he was very much shocked and he was very much sorrowful in his heart. But he did not say anything to Narada that time. He tolerated, being a gentleman, he tolerated. Okay, Narad Muni has done something to my children and they renounced. And Narad Muni went back again, and remembering the, and Brahmaji had to come again to pacify and solace Daksha Prajapati. And Daksha Prajapati was again instructed by Brahma that beget many more children. So this time again from the same wife, Panchajani, he begot 1,000 children, 1,000 sons. And they were named Shavalashvas. And again same, he instructed them that please go and perform these austerities and come back and beget many, many more children so that the world will be populated. So being a faithful sons, they went. And they started performing austerities at Narayan Saras. And again, by the merciful arrangement of the Lord, Narad Muni came there. And he saw another set of 1,000 young boys practicing severe austerities. He was very happy, delighted to see them. He came down and asked, who are you? They said, we are sons of Prajapati Daksha. Then he said, oh, that means you must be very beloved to your elder brothers who have already gone to jungle, who are already gone to Himalayas to practice devotional service. Why don't you follow their path? And being very gentleman and cultured boys, they thought, yes, we should follow our elder brothers. And they decided to leave that place and follow in the footsteps of elder brothers, and they went to Himalayas, renouncing everything. And this information again came to Prajapati Daksha. And this time when he heard my 1,000 more sons, they were gone, they were been brainwashed by Narad Muni. So he was very, very upset. And Narad Muni came because he understood that when a person is in very distressful situation, that is a good time to preach to him. Yeah. So Narad Muni, in order to preach Maharaj Daksha, he came all the way to the palace of Maharaj Daksha to help him understand that goal of life is not fruity activities, engagement in different sacrificial performances. There is a higher thing which we should aspire for. Of course, you have an instruction to follow and populate this world. That's okay. But more important and higher responsibility of an individual is to deliver. Because Narad Muni has already delivered many, many sons of Swayambhu Manu, like Uttanapad and his brother, I'm forgetting his, Priyavrat. So like that, many lineages of Swayambhu Manu was being delivered by Narad Muni. So Prajapati Daksha was remaining to be delivered. So Narada's focus was there on him. So when he came and gave this information, Daksha Maharaj, he became very upset with Narad Muni. He said, first time when you took away all my children, I tolerated. But second time when I saw you doing the same thing, now I have concluded, I have understood that actually you are not a saintly person. You are a sadhu. Generally, sadhus are very compassionate, very benevolent. They are very merciful. Instead of breaking families into pieces, they try to unite families and give them good counsel and good advice how to continue to live a happy life. But you are not doing that. You are breaking. You are taking away all my children. And renunciation, this was philosophy of Daksha. Daksha Prajapati says, I'll read from the translations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very beautiful. He speaks his philosophy. He says, Prajapati Daksha continued. This is 6.5.40. If you think that simply awakening the sense of renunciation will detach one from the material world, I must say that unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing dresses as you have done cannot possibly bring detachment. So Prabhupada takes this point in the purport and says, Prajapati Daksha was correct in stating that changing one's dress cannot detach one from this material world. The sannyasis of Kali Yuga who change their robes from white to saffron and then think they can do whatever they like are more abominable than materialistic grahasthas. This is not recommended anywhere. Prajapati Daksha was right in pointing out this defect. But he did not know that Narad Muni had aroused the spirit of renunciation in the Haryashvas and Shavlashvas through full knowledge. Such enlightened renunciation is desirable. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janati Janayati Achyu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahetukam. When one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, knowledge and renunciation is awarded as a byproduct. And on that basis, one's devotional service grows more and more and more. They are helping one another. But a sense of renunciation which is aroused in the heart just by having a bookish knowledge will not last. Because one's heart is still contaminated by material desires. So therefore, it is very important that one, I'll read, before making that point, I'll read the next translation and purport of text 41. Because in this purport, Prabhupada gives that beautiful explanation. Daksha continues,
Material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness. But one cannot give it up unless one has personally experienced how much suffering it is. Therefore, one should be allowed to remain in so-called material enjoyment while simultaneously advancing in knowledge to experience the misery of this false material happiness. Then, without help from others, one will find material enjoyment distasteful. Those whose minds are changed by others do not become as renounced as those who have personal experience. So this is Daksha Prajapati's philosophy. So he believes in personal experience. One has to experience oneself how distasteful, how miserable is material existence or life of fruitive actions, and then one will renounce everything, never to return back. But Srila Prabhupada doesn't agree. In the purport, Prabhupada gives an example, beautiful. He begins with an example. It is said that unless a woman becomes pregnant, she cannot understand the trouble of giving birth to a child. Bandhya ki bhujibe prasava vedana. The word bandhya means a sterile woman. Such a woman cannot give birth to a child. How then can she perceive the pain of delivery? According to the philosophy of Prajapati Daksha, a woman should first become pregnant and then experience the pain of childbirth. Then, if she is intelligent, she will not want to be pregnant again. Actually, however, this is not a fact. Sex enjoyment is so strong that a woman becomes pregnant and suffers at the time of childbirth, but she becomes pregnant again, despite her experience. According to Daksha's philosophy, one should become implicated in material enjoyment so that after experiencing the distress of such enjoyment, one will automatically renounce. Material nature, however, is so strong that although a man suffers at every step, he will not cease his attempt to enjoy. Then what is the solution? Srila Prabhupada comes ahead. He quotes a beautiful shloka from 7th canto. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhajaha. Under the circumstances, unless one gets, here Prabhupada comes with the solution. Under the circumstances, unless one gets the association of a devotee like Narad Muni or his servant in the disciplic succession, one's dormant spirit of renunciation cannot be awakened. It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. One needs the blessings of a devotee like Narad Muni. Then one can renounce his attachment for the material world. The young boys and girls of the Krishna consciousness movement have given up the spirit of material enjoyment not because of practice, but by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. So Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains in this beautiful purport how, because of the mercy of a great pure devotee of the Lord, actually one's heart becomes pure. Because important is to purify the heart. The material desires are there in the heart and they are manifested in multifarious ways with the enchanting ideas of the mind and lusty intelligence. So therefore, most important is to purify the heart. And the heart purification takes place when one receives the mercy of a pure devotee like Srila Narad Muni or his servants in the disciplic succession, like Srila Prabhupada and his representatives.
So when we receive their mercy, can our heart be purified? And how to receive mercy? Very simple. Mameva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if we surrender, if we submit ourselves to the lotus feet of Krishna, we will be delivered from maya, from illusion. So submitting ourselves to a pure devotee or pure representative of Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and following their instructions will actually enable our heart to be purified. If we do not submit and follow their instructions, although we may chant Hare Krishna, although we may take prasad, although we may see the beautiful forms of the Lord, although we may render many different services, but if we are not ready to stick to the guidance or the teachings given by Srila Prabhupada and his representatives and try to implement, apply those teachings in our heart, we will not attract mercy. And if mercy doesn't come, our heart will not be purified. Srila Yamunacharya, Srila Prabhupada quotes here the 7th canto in this purport. And when you go to the 7th canto of that verse, Srila Prabhupada quotes Yamunacharya saying this beautiful verse. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde navanavara sadhamni udditarantumasit tadavadi batanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukhavikara shushtu nishthivanamcha. He says, Yamunacharya says, Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde. Since when my mind has been engaged, padara vinde, lotus feet of Lord Krishna, navanava rasa dhamni, I am experiencing new and new pleasure. So this experience of new pleasure has given strength to Yamunacharya, saying the next two lines, which he says, tadavadi batanari sangame smaryamane. So whenever this thought of associating or intimately associating with a woman comes, I spit at the thought. So this strength of spitting at the thought has come in Yamunacharya, because Yamunacharya, he was a great king, and naturally being a very exalted king, he was busy in politics and sense gratification. So he, after renouncing that kingship, when he got the mercy of his spiritual master, he again came back to spiritual life and practicing spiritual life. So there he gives this, he speaks this verse explaining his realization that because of experiencing new and new pleasure, he is able to say like this, spit at the thought. So experiencing this great pleasure is what sustains. And we know pleasure is in relationships. When we experience a relationship with Krishna and spiritual masters, a loving servitude relationship with Supreme Lord Krishna and his representatives, actually this nava rasa will be experienced, and we can very easily say no, as Yamunacharya is explaining that he spits, his lips curl in distaste and he spits at the thought. This kind of platform can be achieved only through the mercy coming down the line in parampara. Otherwise, our own endeavors, of course we have to endeavor to submit and to follow so that we can attract the mercy. But simply endeavor will not work. The mercy is required to purify our heart. And that mercy is what a devotee aspires for, he longs for. And more he develops, he grows in his relationship with Krishna, understanding that he is a servant, he is a menial, humble menial servant of Krishna and Guru, will the ever fresh mellows of spiritual rasa will dawn in his heart, and he can very easily say no to the sense gratification. Otherwise, it's very difficult. One may go on memorizing many, many verses and have nice knowledge, but still, as Vishwamitra Muni shows through his personal example, that although he was performing very severe austerities, just a simple ringing of ankle bell of Menaka, his attention was diverted, and he could no longer continue his austerities. So illusory energy of the Lord is very powerful, very, very powerful. So therefore we need a powerful shelter, powerful process, which is Krishna consciousness. So more faithfully and obediently we stick to the teachings and the process given by Srila Prabhupada to us, the more we can evolve. Just like Prabhupada in the end mentions about his young boys and girls. They were engaged in the process of Krishna consciousness by Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, seeing their sincere endeavors, he gave his mercy. And because of that, they could sustain renunciation. Otherwise, very difficult. In one place, I'll just conclude with this. In one place, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions this statement. Lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. So this education and culture, the Vedic education and culture, is very, very important, because the kind of upbringing one has, it influences one's subtle body, and either it contaminates more with material desires or it purifies and one upholds the high ideals and principles and desires in his life. So therefore this education and culture is a foundation of Vedic culture. A Vedic culture establishes or stands on these two principles: education in spiritual knowledge, Vedic scriptures, and the culture of living, how to live. And Srila Prabhupada very commonly and very often quotes one verse of Chanakya Pandit explaining what is culture. In a different way, although he says, but he explains what is culture. Matravat paradareshu paradraveshu loshtravat atmavat sarva bhuteshu yah pashyati sa panditaha. He says that person is a learned person, a cultured person, who sees matravat paradareshu, who sees other ladies as one's mother. Atmavat paradraveshu loshtravat, who sees others' wealth as garbage, means of no interest for him. And atmavat sarva bhuteshu, and he treats every individual as he wants to be treated himself. That means he treats everyone with love and respect. Yah pashyati sa pandita. So this is one standard of being a cultured person. How can we know somebody is cultured? When we can see through these characteristics or three criteria that he is a cultured person. And we see in Kali Yuga, such a culture is not available. Nobody is cultured like this. Nobody is trained like this with these principles. In fact, everyone is trained the opposite way. exact opposite. Like Shanda and Amrak were trying to train Prahlad Maharaj in politics and in discriminating people, and thinking who is his friend, who is his enemy,
and how to exploit others. In these principles they were trained. So like this, the Shanda Namrak Institute is teaching us in these principles. And because of that, we find we have no culture. We don't know how to behave properly, how to look properly, how to act properly. We don't know that. So therefore, it is very important, and that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted this society, wanted these temples, where everyone gets an opportunity to be a cultured person. A person who knows how to see, how to desire, how to act. And that's the purpose why Srila Prabhupada has established. So this is very important aspect, education and culture, which everyone of us has to go through, and we have to transfer this to the next generations. Thank you all very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.